You ever think about what it takes for somebody to stand up here and preach? It is so easy. So simple. I mean, you never get harassed by the enemy at all because he's like, oh, you're going to preach? Oh, boy, great. Let me leave you alone. I got to tell you something. It's funny now, but the enemy came to mess with my mind a little bit. Let me tell you what he was telling me. A couple of things. I'm just going to expose him for a minute. A couple of things he told me. One thing he told me was this. When you speak a clear, clear word to people, sometimes, he said, I'll attack them even harder. So you better quit talking to people. I better quit speaking a clear word to people. But that started to mess with my mind. See, my wife and I would go out a lot. I've told you about this, and we would minister the word, and we would speak to people in the people's lives, and God would really, really move, and we would speak a clear word. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge would just really flow. But there were certain little times that I would speak a word to somebody, and I wouldn't. Pray about it as I should, or I would internalize, and that person would not manifest the things that I know God was saying for them, and I would take it personally, like, oh man, did I speak the wrong word? Did I not pray for them? What did I do wrong? I've got to stop talking to people. I've given two words in Faithful Word Assembly since I've been here. I spoke to a young lady back there. I spoke a clear word to her. I know what God was telling me. She straightened up for a little while and went off the rails. But I know what God told me. I spoke another word to an individual. And that individual is still going through some problems and issues. And so the enemy started to tell me, you better stop. But you know what that's done for me today? It has set me on fire. It has set me on fire. It's like, you lying devil. You have shut my mouth. How did I let that lying devil shut my mouth? But it happens. It happens. The devil will lie to the best of us. He'll lie to any of us. He will get you believing stuff that is so stupid, so ungodly, so unbiblical. And so I'm going to expose that sucker today. I'm going to expose him today. We're going to talk about this thing, and we're going to expose him, and we're going to break the power of deception, because I'm not the only person he's lied to. I'm not the only person he's lied to. And what we're going to do today, so let me go ahead and just start speaking by the Holy Ghost. What we're going to do today is that we're going to break some strongholds in some people's lives today. And there are some lying spirits that has been sent out to mess with the minds of some people. And those demons will be left at this altar today in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Can I get somebody to agree with that word in the name of Jesus? You're going to tell me I better shut up. That's why I dress like a preacher today. It's like, man, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. See, I sound big and bad now, but boy, I was fighting some battles. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the word. Thank you for a sure word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that your gifts are working today within this church. And we thank you, Lord, that we are open to hear your voice and only your voice, and a liar we will not listen to. We thank you, Lord God, that Lord, you are anointing my mouth. You're anointing ears and hearts to hear. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that this is the day that people will leave this church changed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I've been preaching about a miracle set in motion. I joke with my wife. I said, Faithful Word is going to think I'm a one trick pony. That's the only thing I can preach on is a miracle set in motion. And that's something else that was messing with me. Like, man, can I get out of this and maybe preach on something else? But you know what? Man, I can't wait to preach this sermon this morning. Because it's revelation. It's revelation that we need to hear, and it's a revelation that this country needs to hear. So today I'm going to talk about a faith that goes the distance. A faith that goes the distance. You know, I truly believe that we're in the end times. I believe it's like it just hit me. The last few weeks it just hit me. And Brooks and I were talking about this. It's like, you know, we are in the last days. We are really, really in the last days. So I remember back in the 80s, back in the late 80s, early 90s, listening to Pastor Tardo, and he was preaching on Daniel. I believe it was around that time. Daniel, Revelation. So I'm just soaking all this up about the last days and learning all this good stuff about the last days. So I'm studying the book of Revelation, studying Daniel, studying the prophets, really trying to understand what the end times are going to look like. I didn't need to study that hard. I just needed to keep on living and just be here. This is what the end times is going to look like. You have cryptocurrency. So you have a digital currency now that governments are saying we are going to institute digital currencies in these countries, in our countries, including the United States. And you know what they can do with that? They can turn bank accounts on and off with the flip of a switch, the press of a key. When did that happen in human history? You have now to where computer manufacturers and programmers and all these geeks that are way higher than I am are developing artificial intelligence. And the same ones who are developing artificial intelligence are saying, you know what, we got to be careful with this because this thing can take over the world. You think? You're also living in a time where, you know, we've always talked about wars and rumors of wars, but now you have some people who are saying, I will press the button, the big red button, and I'll blow all of us up. Mindsets are changing. I mean, we're living in the last of the last days. COVID, where did that come from? I don't remember reading a scripture about COVID in Revelation. I didn't call it out. But COVID. What did COVID bring? COVID brought a time where we're saying, I'm going to mandate what you do with your physical body. I'm going to mandate what goes in your bloodstream. You can't buy or sell unless you do what I say you're going to do. Tell me we're not in the last days. And there's more. I could go on and on, but I only have an hour and 45 minutes. I'm not even talking about all the normal mass shootings that we see. I'm not even talking about human trafficking or modern day slavery. You want to talk about slavery? We need to quit looking backwards and look at the people around us. Look at the slaves today. Slaves to prostitution, slaves being bought and sold, and all we can talk about is what happened back in the day. My God, we better start praying and breaking shackles over men and women in bondage right now around our world in this city. Yes, bondage to sin. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read there, and then I'm going to Matthew chapter 24. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some, a couple, two or three people, potentially could depart from the faith. There will be many people depart from the faith. And what's going to cause this departure from the faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, the New King James says it this way. It says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Deceiving spirits. Now, what I was telling you I was going through, in my mind, that wasn't true. It was deception. And I was listening to a lie. Now, it's easy for me to point at you, but I want you to look at me and say, look, this dude here has some fights too. I was believing a lie. Deception. And it took the Holy Spirit to show me, like, son, this is not true. This is not true. But people will hear a lie in these last days, in the last days, in the latter times. Some will depart from the faith. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed, listening to, believing, internalizing, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So let's look at Matthew for a minute. I looked at several translations of 1 Timothy 4 as you turn to Matthew 24. Several translations translated 1 Timothy 4 this way. They said paying attention to deceiving spirits. Paying attention to deceiving spirits. So in Matthew 24, verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now Jesus said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus, how are we going to know that we're in the last days? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. Take heed. Now, of all the things he could have said, of all the things that Jesus, the Son of God, could have said, this is how you're going to know you're in the last days. He said this, take heed that you don't fall into deception. Number one. You know, we have to constantly guard our hearts against deception. Now, we just talked about we're in the last of the last days. It would not surprise me if I'm raptured while I'm preaching this sermon. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not the only one in here. It would not surprise me if we or raptured as I preach this sermon. What's stopping it? It is imminent. Pastor preached, I don't know how many sermons on the imminent return of the Lord. This could be the day. It really could be the day. But if I'm not raptured, if we are not raptured as I preach, then we need to guard our hearts against deception. You know, once upon a time, I used to pay Sprint. I used to pay a phone bill. And the reason I paid this phone bill, Sprint is now T-Mobile. Some of you pay AT&T. Some of you pay Verizon. Some of you, all of these companies out there. But I used to pay a phone bill because I wanted to be able to call my wife, talk to her. I wanted to be able to have my kids call me if they needed me. My job could call me. I could call different places. Now I pay a phone bill so scammers can call me. That's why I pay a phone bill. I pay my phone bill because I meet great people over my phone. I have a new best friend now. His name is Scam Likely, and he pops up on my phone all the time. Oh, there's my friend, Scam Likely. You know, the Federal Trade Commission, this year, the Federal Trade Commission reported that fraud, scams, cost the American people almost $9 billion in 2022. $9 billion? You know what I could do with $9 billion? Woo, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Y'all think I was, y'all be like, oh, look at him. Because I'd drive up in here, I'd have a car that was so maxed out and loaded out, and my car would preach when I drove up in the parking lot. It would be so smart. If I had $9 billion, I would give a few bucks to Faithful Word. But I would really get me a nice, anyway, lest I get in the flesh. There are certain types of fraud, but one of the most popular types of fraud in our country is called imposter, impersonation fraud. And this is when somebody calls you, and I've had these calls. Hello. Yeah, this is IRS. Yeah, this is the Social Security Administration. Yes, this, and I'm like, who else is going to call me? I'm just waiting on a call from the president. Oh, yeah, I want him to call me. Boy, he's going to get an earful when he calls, but I'm waiting on a call. But I've had calls from all kind of official agencies because people are impersonating the real. They are trying to impersonate that which is real, but they are fake. It's a scam. It's a fraud. It's just like the devil. When you hear that junk in your head, it's a scam. It's a fraud. It's not the truth. It sounds authentic. It sounds real. But he is an impersonator, impersonating the truth. So now they have it to where artificial intelligence, once again, can actually have it to where you think you're on the phone with one of your children, right, your spouse, yeah, parent, and they're calling you, and this fake voice is saying, help, I need help, send me money. Yeah. They're getting better and better. Yeah. They're getting better and better. The more evil people get, the better they get at being evil. So, Matthew 24, so Jesus said, take heed that no one deceive you. And they ask him, what are the last days going to look like? And we've said, we've come to the conclusion that we're in the last of the last days. So don't you think this fits us? If that demon of deception is going to be let loose in the last days, don't you think that demon of deception is let loose right now? That demon gets behind pulpits every Sunday. That demon compromises and starts to say some of the most vile, ungodly, unscriptural things in people who are called to ministry. Because they listen to that voice. And they begin to say, oh, you know what? Maybe the government is right. Maybe we have been too hard on certain groups of people. And maybe we need to start doing X, Y, and Z. And maybe we should compromise to the point to where we don't even look like a church anymore. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. And so Jesus went on to say, he said, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But this is what he said. See that you are not troubled." See that you are not troubled. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. Fear not. See that you are not troubled. Look, just because I'm talking about this deception and all the things going on these last days, church, we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to be in fear, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. That demon might be bringing deception. It might be bringing foolishness. It might be deceiving many. But baby, it ain't going to deceive me. It ain't going to deceive you. My wife is thinking, there he goes, that baby thing again. Quit saying baby. That's one reason I thank God for Pastor Tardo. Because, man, if anybody's going to preach the word, uncompromised, Pastor will. And sometimes it makes the hair on my head curl up a little bit because he's preaching so hard. But it's like, preach it, Pastor. I hear you. Maybe that's why I don't have any hair. Pastor, listen to you all these years preaching that hard word. I thank God for a church, for a pastor who preaches the word, uncompromised. They're not easy to find anymore. And he says some things that I would think about saying, like, "Ooh, well, I don't know if I can say that one." Pastor just lets you have it. But what that does, it keeps deception out of your hearts. Because deception and the truth cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Let me give you the David Walker version of that scripture I just read to you. Let me read the scripture to you. "And when you hear these of wars and rumors of war, see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet." Here's the David Walker version. I wouldn't suggest you buy this Bible in any bookstore. "When hard times come, don't let the devil mess with your mind. Don't let him play games with you. If you let him vacation in your head for too long, he will soon be trying to buy real estate in your heart." That's the David Walker version. Like I said, you can't find it on Amazon. You can't find it anywhere. And if you could, I would maybe just leave it there. But we can't let the devil mess with our minds. Because if you let him vacation up here, he's going to be finding the real estate agent saying, "Hey, can I get some property in David's heart?" We've got to watch what goes in our minds, because it's going to end up in our hearts. So if Jesus had to say to his disciples that he was just telling about the last days, don't be troubled, what do you think we're going through who are living in the last days? He was just telling them about the last days and told them, don't be troubled. And here we are living in the last days. I think we're living in one of those Daniel moments where the Daniel prophesied and said in the last days the enemy would come and just try to wear the saints out. Just try and wear us out. That's what's going on. He's just trying to wear us down. I am not going to get wore down. You are not going to get wore down, because greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. Church, fear not. Fear not. Because we have a promise from God. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. And when you get troubled, when you get shaken, when you get concerned, when that sorry rascal comes and starts talking in your ear, you need to stop doing what you're doing and say, "Baby, let me tell you something. The Lord is in me. I got the greater one living in me. Jesus is in me. The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. I will not stop moving forward. I will not stop believing God for his greatest, for his best." I really told myself before this sermon that I was going to be calm and not get too high strung and really just kind of, you know, just stay right here. Mellow, yes. It's not too late. I still have another hour of this to go. I do have a window of time to calm this thing down. In Matthew 24, he went on to say, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom," in verse Matthew 24:7, "kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." Well, that's a comforting word. "And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Let me just throw something out here. You'll be hated of nations for my name's sake. If you listen, which is rare for me to listen to the news anymore, I just had to come away from it. Because I'd be so agitated and so irritated that I just had to just back off for a while. But for a while, they kept using this term. So, all right. For a while, they kept using this term, white nationalism. You ever heard the news media use that term? White nationalist. And this, and when they use it, then somehow they try and tie it back to their favorite person. Who do you think the news media's favorite person is? Favorite person. So if we can tie white Christian nationalist, so they started, went away from white, from nationalist, then it was white nationalist, then it was white Christian nationalist. After a while, it's just going to be crazy Christians. Just these crazy Christians. You see, we let stuff kind of seep in. That deception says, "Oh, these guys they're talking about, these are extremist racists out there." But when you throw the word Christian in there, that's the devil. And he's saying, if I can get people to tie Christianity to racism, if I can get people to tie Christianity into bigotry, if I can get people to begin to mix Christianity and all the things that they think is the ill of the world, then people will start saying, "These Christians are crazy. These Christians got issues." Yes. It's called deception. And it starts out way down here in the weeds, real low, and it's soft, and it's kind of, so yeah, I guess we got some crazy people out there who are doing some crazy stuff, and yeah, next thing you know, the world hates you. Because you're a Christian. Because they automatically start tying you to bigotry. And then many will be offended and betray one another. Do you remember during the height of COVID, you had people telling on their own family members? Like, ooh, he didn't get it and he's out in public. I'm calling somebody. I'm telling you, we are in the last days. We're in the last days, and it says, and we'll hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up. Now, if we hadn't heard Pastor expose false prophets, we hadn't heard anything. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. All this stuff I just read, Jesus said, with all this stuff I just said, don't you let go. Don't you stop loving God, following God, pursuing God. Don't you stop living that life. Don't you dare stop being who you are, because he who endures till the end will be saved. Not he who believed half-heartedly, kind of, sort of, had a jailhouse experience, and yeah, I'm out now, and I'm back to the same old demon I was when I first went there. He who endures till the end shall be saved. We got to make up our minds, church. That we're not going to be derailed by people, by the world, by the devil, by our minds, by circumstance, by situations in life. We got to make up our mind that nothing is going to stop me from serving the Lord. Can anybody here make up your mind this morning that you're going to serve God no matter what? Jesse, I need you to calm me down. I need you to keep me calm. You're on the front row. All right, thank you. Thank you. It's your job now the rest of this time. Okay, thank you, Jesse. I got three quick points I want to give you. And we're going to go to 2 Kings. You think I was going to not go to 2 Kings? Talk about Naaman. You think this one trick I have, this one trick that I've been using, I'm going to stop using it now? 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 9. I got three quick points I want to give you. Second Kings chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 9. Now, I've read this so many times, y'all be memorizing some of these scriptures by now. 2 Kings 5:9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Point number one, if God gives you a clear word, don't let the devil steal that word from you. Don't let the devil steal that word from you. How clear could God be to Naaman? Go. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. What's the instructions? Go wash in the Jordan. Wash in the Jordan? How many times? 7 times. 7 times? What's going to happen if I do that? Oh, you'll be healed. How clear is that? So he had a clear word. If God gives you a clear word, don't let the devil steal that word. But let me tell you what deception does. Because last time we talked about this, we talked about the pride of Naaman's heart. We talked about how proud he was and how that pride derailed him from hearing the word from the prophet. But there's another spin to this that I had never thought about before. In verse 11 says, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold,'" now this is what he said, "'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" Now listen at this. "Are now Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel?" Now here's where the deception came in. Because I believe at this point, deception, the spirit of deception was there. So the devil knows sometimes when God speaks, he's like, "Oh, I got to stop this. I got to stop this." And so this is what Naaman said. "May I not wash in them and be clean?" No, Naaman, you can't go and wash in them and be clean. Because the word didn't say that. Because the word said, "You go and dip in Jordan 7 times. Not Abana, not Pharpar, not the rivers of Damascus. The word said, "You go and dip in..." Jesse, you're not calming me down, bro. The word said, "You go and dip in Jordan." But he said, "May I not wash in them and be clean?" No, homeboy, you can't go wash in them and be clean. No, you can't. All right, I said baby, now it's called naming homeboy. That's the second thing I've done I need to not do. You gotta help. Thank you. You can't go wash anywhere else because the word said to go to Jordan. So you can go back and go to Damascus and wash in one of those rivers. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to go down a dry leper and come up a wet leper. That's what's going to happen. That's what you're going to get when you go away from the word. You're not going to get what the word says. See, that's the thing. Let me just be this, Jesse, leave me alone for a minute. Let me just, see, that's the thing. The devil knows the certain buzzwords he can speak to us. He knows the certain things he can say to mess with us. And when people are speaking the truth to us, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear the truth sometimes. Man, sometimes we can speak to people and we can say A, B, C, and D. And they'll look at you and say, "No, RS comes before A and B." That's how deception works. We could tell them something so clear. So clear. But you can tell when the devil is messing with a person's mind. And you can tell when the devil is messing with your mind. Because it starts to get you to stray away from the word. It starts to get you to stray away from what the word says. All right, let me get back. I'm back. Yes, Naaman was acting from pride and disappointment, but I also believe that the devil was there messing with Naaman's mind. You see, the devil wasn't born in the 20th century. The devil's been around for a long, long time. Jesus said this in John 8:44. He says, "You," talking to his buddies, the Pharisees, "you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So when the devil talks to you, you can recognize it because it will be a lie that contradicts the word of God. How many people have falsely accused you of something? How many marriages have been destroyed because a marriage partner believed a lie? A lie! And they bought the lie, and before you know it, that lie has just rolled and went from a pebble to a mountain. And they're in divorce court because the devil got in the ear about a lie. Matthew 13, 14 says this, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, when they hear the word, Satan comes immediately. Immediately. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. As soon as Naaman got that word from the prophet, the devil was there. Naaman, don't listen to him. You're proud, boy. Don't you dare dip in that. You can go dip in your own river somewhere. As soon as he heard the word, the devil was there. Let's go to point number two. Deception will be destroyed by the simple truth. If you want to destroy deception, just speak the truth. 2 Kings chapter 5, and his servant, 2 Kings 5:13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? When the spirit of deception comes at you and starts talking to you about your future, about your healing, about your marriage, about your job, your finances, all you got to do is go to the Word of God, and it will shut him up every single time. Every single time. Proverbs 30 says this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The devil is the liar, not our God. God tells the truth. He stands on his truth. He stands with his word. He stands behind his word. And when you quote his word, when you read his word, when you proclaim his word, when you confess his word, God will back his word up. He will back his word up. When you know you have a sure word from the Lord, you can stand on that word. You can trust that word. You can believe that word every single time. And here's my third and last point. It's not too late for you to get back on your horse and start riding again. It's not too late for you to believe God for your miracle. You know what? Some of you have been believing God for some big things. And the devil would mess with you and mess with you and mess with you and mess with you and mess with you. And you found yourself now, it's like, I just don't know. Was I ever walking in faith? Did God really say that to me? It's not too late for you to get back in faith. It's not too late for you to receive your miracle. Verse 14, 2 Kings 5. 14, and he went down and dipped himself. Naaman went down and dipped himself. You can tell a person, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them dip in the Jordan seven times. He dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is what Brooks told me. We're reading this. She said, David, you know, Naaman has six chances to give up. Six chances to quit. He dipped and he thought, well, that didn't work. Look at that. That leprosy is still there. What am I doing? Well, why not? Let me dip again. Second time he looked, oh man, that lying prophet. He had 6 times to dip and not see any change in his circumstances. How many of you have ever been dipping in faith and not seeing anything happen? How many of you have prayed for something and just knowing, oh man, oh, I feel goosebumps. I know this is about to happen instantly. And pray for it. And like, wait a minute. My bank account's still showing. It's the same thing. Wait a minute. My boss is still crazy. He had 6 chances to quit. But on that last time, he went down. He got his miracle. So when we're tempted to give up, and sometimes you might even give up, it's still not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Yes, take the seventh dip. Go on down. Go ahead and do it. Pick yourself up. Go ahead back into the altar. Go ahead back on your knees in prayer and say, Lord, look, I know I hadn't been here in a while. I know I had kind of given up. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, but here I am. I'm getting back on. I'm believing you for my healing. I'm believing you for my marriage. I'm believing you for my finances. I'm believing you for that new job. I'm believing you for what you told me I could have. I'm believing you for revival. Amen. You know I was going to throw revival in here somehow. By hook or crook, I'm going to throw revival in this sermon. Pastor saying, no, David, not by hook or crook. You can mention revival, but not deceptively. You don't have to have a visitation from angels to know that you're standing in faith. You don't have to have the clouds open up and it's like, hallelujah, this is your day. No, sometimes you don't feel anything. Anything. There's been times when Brooks and I have prayed for people. We'd be going out and pray for somebody and, man, I didn't feel nothing. Zero. It's like, why am I even here? And God will touch in some of the greatest ways. Like, how'd that person get healed? Where'd that come from? That person was filled with the Holy Ghost as dry as I feel right now. Oh, that's right. It's got nothing to do with me. It's not me anyway. It's not my power. I'm just a vessel that God chose to use and how he chose this one. Whew. But he knows. He knows best. Church, I'm not listening to the devil tell me what I can and can't do. I'm not listening to the devil tell me who to talk to and who not to talk to. I'm not doing that anymore. And I suggest that you make up your mind to do the exact same. You keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching, mama. Keep on preaching. You keep on preaching. You keep on preaching. Because your words aren't in vain. Your words are not in vain. Glenn, if I go back here, will this mess up and start squealing and stuff? Can I go back here? Okay. I just want to take a little stroll for a minute. Keep on preaching, mama. Is that your mama? Mm-hmm. I'm telling her to keep on preaching. You know why? Because she's preaching to you. She's preaching to you. I was preaching about Naaman. Talking about this guy who this prophet spoke very clearly to. And he told him some very clear instructions, but he had to make a choice. Naaman had to make a choice. It said that he went and dipped himself. You've heard some very clear words from God in your lifetime. So clear. But you've made some bad choices. Bad choices. But you know what? That's okay. Because I was preaching today. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. And this is a day where God could radically change you, change your way of thinking, change your mind. Because this is what you've been saying. You've been saying, yeah, God, you're saying you want to bless me. And mama says all this stuff. But look what I got. Look what I got. You're looking at what you got. You're looking at what you have. You're looking at what you don't have. And you're judging God based on your circumstances. Quit judging God based on your circumstances. Let God be God. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. We are all liars when it comes to God, man. We're all liars. God is the only one who can speak the truth. God is the only one who can speak the truth. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for you to be who you know you're supposed to be. It's not too late for you to do what you know God is saying he wants you to do. It's not too late for you to receive those things that you're saying, God, I don't see it. It's not too late, man. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. Amen. You believe me, bro?
I certainly do.
Amen, bro. Do something with that word I just told you. Do something with that. Do something with it, okay? Y'all just give me one more minute, please. Brother Jesse. Come here, brother. I need to pray for you. Come here, Megan. Brooks, come here. While we're driving to church this morning, driving down the road, Lord puts you on my heart. Starts talking to me about you. And 2 seconds later, out of the clear blue, she starts praying for you, calling you by name. Now, we hadn't talked about you. Man, you ain't on my mind. You're not like I'm at the table eating like, I wonder what Jess is doing right now. No. But he dropped you in my spirit. She started praying for you. I didn't say a word like, devil, I ain't even going to tell you what's going down. I know you've been going through some stuff. I know you've been fighting. You all already been fighting. You've already been in the battle. So if I give you a word, then guess what? You've been fighting anyway, so I know you've been going through a lot. I know you have been battling in your mind. And I know that spirit of deception has been talking to you. And he's been talking loud and clear. And you have heard some lies about yourself. You've been listening to these lies about yourself. You've been listening to these lies about, and I'm not going to list them out, but all kinds of things. And so what the enemy's been doing is he's been progressively getting in your ear, telling you a little bit. And then a little bit more, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, then a little bit more. And until finally it's like, man, he is in my head. But brother, today, in the name of Jesus, that spirit has been exposed and it's going to leave your head. He's going to leave your house. He's going to leave your relationship and he's going to get out of your business in the name of Jesus. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for Jesse. I thank you for Megan. I thank you for this godly couple, Lord God, that you are raising up in this last days, Lord God. Anoint them, Lord. Touch them right now. Lord, I come against that spirit of deception, that lying spirit that has been attacking them, trying to get them to back up and retreat. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now. And church, pray with me. Pray with me, church. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that these weapons from the enemy will cease right now in Jesus' name. Lying spirits, I bind you and command you to cease. Harassing spirits, I bind you and command you to cease in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing on my brother. A fresh anointing on my brother in Jesus' name. Refresh him, Lord. Refresh his heart. Refresh his mind. Give him energy, Lord God. Restore joy back to his heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brother, you got a job to do. You got a job to do in the kingdom. You have a job to do. Don't let the devil mess with you. Won't have time for it. We're in the last days. Sister, we're in the last days. Don't let the devil mess with you. You got a job to do. You pick up that sword. You pick up that shield. You pick up the word of God. And you get into it like you never have before. And you resist like you never have before. And you just watch and see. You watch and see how God begins to just raise you up and how he begins to use you. It's time to move forward.
Yeah.
It's time to move forward. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there, Pastor. I could go for a while. I'm going to stop here. Excuse me, Pastor, I might have told you a quick fib. Give me one second. Deception. You know what it sounds like. You know what it sounds like. You know what it looks like. It's always in your ear. Always telling you some of the craziest things about you. You see, the enemy knows, and I'll tell you some of this stuff later on that I'm seeing, but the enemy knows that because of your past, he can use your past to derail your future, and that's what he's been doing. He's been using your past to mess with your mind and telling you, no, you ain't gonna never do that. No, you're not gonna ever achieve that. No, I'm gonna tell your stuff publicly, but he's been telling you all kind of stuff. But it's lies, man. It's Darnell, it's lies. You hear me? It's lies. And the only way you're going to fight the lies with the truth. That's the only way. And so what the enemy's been doing, he has been pulling you away from this. You are in a season of distraction, brother. You're in a season of distraction. The enemy is using, and I don't know what it is, don't care what it is, but you are going through a season of distraction. It has pulled you away from the word, and this is the only thing that can break you free from it. You need to purpose in your heart that you're about to get into a season of the word. You're about to get into a season of the word. I'm about to make this commitment to yourself. I'm about to dig into the word like I never have before. And you watch and see what God does in you. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be a fight. I was telling you, I've been fighting. But the word gives you the power to overcome every single time, brother. Every single time. You know what God wants you to do. You know what He has been calling you to do. You've seen evidence of it. So instead of looking back in the devil's past, look back in the past that you have with the Lord and allow that to encourage you and allow that to be the thing that you set your eyes on and say, you know what, God, I'm going in that direction. I'm not going back in that old way, but I'm going forward in the direction that I know I'm supposed to be going in you. And watch and see if God don't restore everything that you had in Him and just elevate you and make it so much better. It's time to break free out of this season of distraction. And it's time to seek God. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. And you're like, you know what? That doesn't make sense to me because I wasn't talking to you. It makes sense to Him. Amen. Can I? Some of you have been fighting that spirit of deception. Some of you have been fighting that spirit of deception in your mind, telling you all kinds of things. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. If you've been battling your mind, if you've been battling stuff that you know since I preached this morning is a lie, I want you to come up. I want to pray for you. I want you to come up. Deception is a creepy monster. Yeah. He can creep into your mind and your life and your heart. Yep. Yep. I'm telling you, God's about to break that off of you. About to break that off of you. Come on around. I'll
the biggest deception is the devil whispering in your ear that you are not worthy.
Amen. Yes.
That you are not worthy, you are not deserving of any of God's blessings or God's healing or God's mercies. That's perhaps the greatest deception of them all. Because the Lord has made us worthy through His blood. Don't listen to that evil voice.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Is there anyone else? Come on around a little. I want you to come a little bit closer. I want you to come to where if I start spitting while I'm praying that it... Is there anyone else before I pray? That lying spirit... Telling you, it was messing with my mind. And when the Lord revealed it to me, it's like, what? Where did this come from? Where did this come from? It comes out of nowhere. It comes out of familiarity. The devil will use something familiar to you, and he'll lie to you about that which is familiar to you, and then twist it. And you'll begin to think it's the truth because it's familiar to you. And that's what he's been doing. That's what he's been doing. But this morning we're going to break it.
Amen.
Are you ready to break it?
Amen.
Amen. But Brooks, you're going to come pray with me? I need my prayer warrior with me right now. Lord, just move at this altar. Lord, just move at this altar, Lord, I pray. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to just begin to show each and every one, Lord, where that spirit came in, where it came from. Begin to show them, Lord, where that lie started. So that they can stand guard, not to let it come back in.
Amen.
I pray for divine revelation for each and every one, Lord. Let them see where that lie started. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now I pray in Jesus' name, that powerful name of Jesus, Lord, that spirit, that lying spirit that has been lying to all of us, telling us things, Lord God, that are not true, trying to distract us, trying to derail us, trying to get us to believe that which is a outright lie, lying to us about ourselves, lying to us that we're not worthy, lying to us that we're not loved. All kinds of lies your children have been hearing. In the name of Jesus, today that lie has to end. In the name of Jesus, right now at this altar, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to break chains off of people's minds, break chains off of people's hearts. All these lies, Lord God, expose these lies to these people. Expose these lies to these people. And I command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus. You go, lying spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of deception, you go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of distraction, you go in the name of Jesus. Spirits that have been hindering and binding, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Now, I need you at this altar to do something. I need you to do something. I need you to pray with me. I need you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every lie, every deception that has been talking to me, that has been lying to me about myself, my family, my self-worth. I command, in the name of Jesus, every lie to leave my mind. Leave my mind. Leave my heart. Come out of me. In the name of Jesus. No longer will I believe you. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my heart, over my family, over my marriage, my children, whatever you got, just plead the blood right now. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood over our homes, our families, our marriages, our jobs, finding every bit of us, every part of us. We come under submission to the Lord Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for setting us free today. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want to know real quick, do you know that thing left you? You know it. You know it. You know it. Amen. 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 Amen.